This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Eat, Sleep, Suplex Retweet.
Hello, folks, and welcome to this, the latest edition of Saturday Draft Live here on Eat, Sleep, Suplex Retweet. I'm Stephen Wilson, and joining me this weekend as we really get into the closing stretch from the road to WrestleMania is the improv king himself. It is David Hockney. David, how are you?
Let me guess, did you plan that intro in advance or did you just make up on the spot?
Well, an improv joke there. Your classes are treating you well then, David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going well.
How's things in general?
All good. I'm just getting ready for holiday prep. I recorded my last central with Ross this week, so be sure to check that out. And we're just basically firmly on the road to Mania now, and I'm so buzzing at the minute. You know, holidays coming up, WrestleMania's coming up. It's a good time to be alive.
David's that buzzing, they forgot that the two of them coincide, and he's going to have to try and watch WrestleMania from a remote location. But you can catch that on Dave's travels somewhere.
It'll be 8 a.m. when it's aired, so I think I've got a better start time than you guys.
Yeah, but we have Wi-Fi, we can watch it. Anyway, let's get into the usuals here on Saturday Draft Live. We'll talk about top scorers of the week. We have a joint third place to start with on 7 points. The WWE Women's Champion, Io Sky, and the AEW Continental Championship. We're not going to go into that whole splitting of the AEW crown because it annoys me. But the new winner of that, of course, Kazuchika Okada, they both got 7 points. Dave, Io Sky, I believe Ryan and Gary's team. Yeah, Ryan and Gary's team, they got the second round. Not quite really generated much up until this point, but damage control seemed to be slowly kind of building up to potential what could be it looks like it might be a bad WrestleMania for them, but it's probably a little too late for Gary and Ryan.
Yeah, I think that the shit hits the fan with this one here, unfortunately. You know, Io had a few mixed seasons since, you know, winning the women's title at SummerSlam last year, but I don't think she's really sort of broken ground in the way that, you know, a top one or two pick usually scores as a champion. But a win over Naomi this week on SmackDown certainly puts her back on the board. Plus, you know, with damage control and a couple of other superstars basically merging across Raw and SmackDown, it's the appearance points just keeps racking up. And it is one of the key feuds going into Mania, even though it's not getting as much spotlight as it probably deserves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. You mentioned it. She did well a couple of seasons ago with 112 points, which was the SummerSlam to Rumble one just after she won the belt. Mm-hmm. She did well the season when she won Money in the Bank, but yeah, the last couple of seasons a bit slower for her. She only got 20 for you last season. As I said, damage control, her getting a win, it's not really wrestled as much, so her getting a win really helped with that one. But the other pick we talked about, Okada, for myself and Stacey's team, this segment will be dominated by me and Stacey's team. I'm sorry to tell Indy, who's a bit of a hater. You mentioned quickly just before we came on air, David, about the gamble that we had on Okada. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, it took half the season for Okada to eventually show up somewhere. And 16 points in 3 weeks he's had. So for a last round pick, he's now got the same amount as the Sting and Darby Allin. got, which was a pick held by some people. He's got pretty much more than the majority of that last round. The majority, he's nearly caught up with a lot of the people who were picked in the round before him. Nearly double Andrade, for example.
Yeah, he's matched Deonna Purrazzo. He's one behind LA Knight. He's scored more than Solo Sikoa, which is mad given that he's only really had appearance points throughout the season. He's nearly matched with Swerve as a round five. And yeah, I think he's dwarfing a lot of the other round six picks, like Imperium only has six, Street Profits only have six, and I think the highest scoring round six is Randy Orton on 33, but he's already got a solid program for Mania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says Randy Orton's a country mile ahead of him, right? Randy Orton was the pick me and Stacey wanted in round six, so that's why we went for the bull pick of Okada. But as me and Jack mentioned last week, he's not going to lose very much. Okada seems to be appearing all over Dynamite, and in fact, he got a title win this week over Eddie Kingston. Really helped with that one, a nice solid 7 points. If he can continue that momentum as a round six pick, that could be very handy in the closing couple of weeks for myself and Stacey as we try to claw back up the top of it. But joint top of the table, again, for myself and Stacey's team, both of these picks, we've got the AEW TBS champion, Julia Hart, and the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, both scoring 11 points. Two big wins for Julia Hart this week. She won an open challenge match on Collision last week, I think against Trish Adora. And then getting the win in that big tag team street fight, pretty much AEW's most consistent matches. A very good one, that one on Rampage, Wednesday Rampage this week. And of course, Cody Rhodes was all over TV programming this week on both Raw and SmackDown. So that's 11 points for pretty much doubles points for me and Stacey, because we have Cody as our captain. Julia kind of falls into the Io Sky category, I think, for this season. Not wrestling as much, maybe, as we anticipate, but now that she's wrestling more, she seems to be doing this open challenge every week. So having a wrestler, a title, a champion defending every week is exactly what you want, especially for somebody that you pick in round four.
Yeah, when you've got 2 weeks left of the season, you need to garner as much points as you can. And with Julia Hart opening this open challenge, you know, that's just easy title win points right there. Cody being all over the product when we're this close to WrestleMania, I think, is a guarantee, given that, you know, I think they're going all in with this dual main event option here. And let's not forget as well, Cody's competing twice at Mania along with Rollins and Roman Reigns. So there's definitely huge points to be had come the end of the season. So, and the amount of progress you and Stacey have made in this last week has been a sight to behold, I dare to say it, because it's 47 points total for your team overall, and you've really closed the gap when it comes to the overall standing. So I think we now have a bit of a competition on our hands.
Yeah, but Cody, I mean, obviously we drafted before the whole Rock stuff. So that's when we picked Cody, it was a case of, oh, Cody's going to go face Roman at the Rumble. And we thought he was going to appear on the double shows because he's still a Raw guy, obviously. Mm-hmm. But now they've got this double main event. I don't know if that's actually worse or better, because there's a very, very strong possibility that him and Seth lose on night one.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
but a title win on pay-per-view with your captain will probably dwarf that.
Yeah, but it's kind of like maybe loses a bit of momentum on that one, but I think he definitely wins night two. I don't think there's any issue of him winning night two this year.
Yeah, I think they have to learn their lesson from last year, obviously.
If he does, if him and Seth do get the win, then that would be massive for this, because obviously no one's got Seth, no one's got Roman, and no one has them. See, somebody drafted The Rock, that'd be amazing foresight.
It would surprise me if Ross and Gary had drafted The Rock as a round six pick.
If they had drafted later in the week, I think 100%.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
They would have picked The Rock. But yeah, it's an interesting one. If Cody gets the double wins, and the people ahead at the top of the table need to fear a bit. And we go on to the table, and they've broke triple figures.
took them long enough.
Survive another week as him and Gary are last on 106 points with V squared. Tom Brock and Robert Shaw, the draft bastards, are 117 points. Not fruitful return to the draft. I think it's fair to say for Mr. Shaw coming up from the Listeners League Cup on 117 points. Yourself, Dave, and Matt Smith. You had a decent week scoring-wise, but you're still a good bit back on 136 points with the West End booty. Just a shame you didn't put that captaincy on the Kabuki Warriors to start with. You know,
hindsight's a wonderful thing.
Your analysis of that thing would probably be a bit different now, because you'd probably still be in the same position.
Yeah, I don't think it would have changed the difference in our position in hindsight, but you know what? Awesome Truth are in the ladder match at Mania, and it's likely they'll probably win, so we'll take it.
Mm-hmm. And then we do have a bit of a jump now. It's a 32-point jump between yourselves and the next team, which is myself and Stacey on it with the Strathclyde Bardon Bellas at 168 points, as you mentioned, David. 47 points for us this week, scoring absolutely big. Pretty much a full team by the Gun Club. We're all, and Vlad Morgan, we're all really heavily on the programmes. Chuck Williams also got a win on NXT this week, which helped us. Massive swing for us in terms of the overall table. We got a 35-point swing on the leaders of the table, and then a 31-point swing on the other two teams above us, which puts us right in with a shout. Because if the next team above us claim themselves to be well in their shout, then we are. That is, of course, David Campbell and Jack Graham with the Billy Goats on 168.5 points, just a half point ahead of us. There is still a bit of a gap to the top two, though. Ross McLeod and Gary Morris with 194 points with the Lynchpins. They changed their captain this week. Mm-hmm. They took the captaincy off of Becky Lynch and put it on Jey Uso. Potentially a week too soon, I think it's fair to say, with Becky all over Raw with that win over Nia Jax, and Jey Uso just getting a couple of appearance points this week. So perhaps they could have been closer if they'd maybe thought differently about that pick. But hey-ho, that's their choice, and they've went with it. But they are still only 10 points behind Scott McLeod and Grant McRobbie, who are slowing down a bit, I think, after a ferocious start to the season for them. Just two guys and some dice on 204 points. Mm-hmm. The first team to break the 200 points barrier this week. Just 23 points for Grant and Scott over the last 2 weeks, Dave. They will be looking over their shoulder because Drew, who had been holding them up most of the season, is obviously he's going into that big title match, but he's not really wrestling much right now.
Yeah. I mean, Drew's been clearly the top scorer this season, back to, you know, his top performance, like we've seen a few years ago when he won the Rumble. He's 50 points overall, 100 with the captaincy applied, which has been the case for two guys and some dice. It's 13 points ahead of Cody, and just to throw it in there, 13 and a half ahead of the Kabuki Warriors. So it's been a very good season for Scott and Grant, particularly just, and I'm sounding like a broken record here, but Drew's clearly the juggernaut of their team, having done so well in the Elimination Chamber, three eliminations, and yeah, they're just running away with it at the minute.
Yeah, but they will have to worry about it, because obviously with their team is not getting as much points recently, and the guys, everybody behind them seems to be doing the opposite. So keep an eye on that one and see how that particularly goes. There's a lot of potential for so many wins on the other teams coming up from them, especially coming out of SmackDown. It looks like they might be getting the rematch from last year with Ray and Dominic, and Dominic's on Ross and Gary's team, who we don't really speak about. So there's something to keep an eye on. Dave, we'll go on to you now for the Listeners League segment. But I mentioned it last week, there was a good number of people in the pack who are quite close together. It seems to be a wee bit stretched out now this week, but we do have three people in particular now who are in a cluster that are beginning to try and gain ground on the leader.
It's just looking at the top five in particular, it's getting very tight for the battle for second place. But fifth place this week is Johnny Adam in the tightest slide with 180 and a half points. And this is where the competition starts to get really tense, because fourth place, Bertie Wanless with £60 million down the drain on 192 is in fourth place. Then we have a joint second, just 1 point ahead of Bertie. We have Ross McCluckey with Los Ingobernables de Jamon and Mike Nunn with the Sports Entertainers on 193. This is where the battle starts to come in for second place. Ross McCluckey and his team captain Cody Rhodes has been sort of dominating this pack. And he also went with the round six pick of Kazuchika Okada, who's had a bit of a, as we said earlier on, you know, a bit of a winning streak, winning the Continental Championship. Mike Nunn, on the other hand, he also has team captain Cody Rhodes, but his round six pick is Sting and Darby Allin, who are basically redundant now. So I think there's going to be a bit of a gap opening up between these two as we progress through the last few weeks. But Ross was also the top scorer this week with 49 points overall. Basically, miles ahead of everybody else this week. The next place down was Lee McAteer on 35 points. So Ross has had a very good scoring week this time around. But once again, maintaining the number one spot for, I think it's safe to say it's going to be for most of the season. It's Colin Blackburn with Colin's elite squad on 224, a 31-point gap between first and second there, carried by his team captain, Drew McIntyre, who, as we all know, has had an absolute howler. A roaring success of a season so far. And his next highest scoring pick is his round six pick, actually, which is Randy Orton. So it's, I think Collins just really sort of hit the formula like where nobody else has, because he was the only person to pick Drew McIntyre as a round one selection, and he's running away with it at the minute.
Yeah, as I say, the only one to pick Drew McIntyre obviously helped him massively on that one. Ross has had a bit of a subs this week. He's one of only two people picked Okada. So taking that risk on him seems to be paying a bit of dividends. Pretty much a lot of the people who are starting to do quite well or starting to do quite well, the only ones who have picked a particular team, Ross was the only one as well picked Io Sky.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that's definitely interesting. And as you say, Colin has got something on that particular one there. The Listeners League Cup, Dave, we're now at a point where only one person can get eliminated.
Yep.
And it seems that the three teams were very close, but one was just unfortunately a wee bit behind.
Yeah. Unfortunately, eliminated this week is the team of Craig Forsyth and David Jindoyan. Only 26 points this week, which was 10 below Ross Brady and Tam McKay, who scored 36. But you're right enough, all three teams who go through to the next round, they all scored pretty consistently. Ross Brady and Tam McKay scoring 36, Johnny Adam and Martin Best scoring 38, and Adam Springer and Johnny Napier just 1 point ahead of them on 39. So the scoring's definitely getting a lot tighter as we move into the final rounds. But I'm excited to see where this goes, because I think at this stage it's anybody's guess who's going to win the Listeners League Cup.
Yeah, poor Craig got a bit of a verbal beating from Mr. Campbell this morning after dragging his friend David into the relegation. I informed Mr. Campbell that David had this worst score, had the joint worst scoring week in the Listeners League, to which I then got a bit of verbals from Mr. Campbell.
Can I just point out as well, like, Adam Springer and Jonathan Napier have actually had quite a Cinderella story for this Listeners League Cup, because they've faced relegation so many times in the last couple of weeks. I think week three and week two, they were basically just above the relegation zone. And
every week they've been pretty much very close to the drop zone.
Mm-hmm. And yet they finished this week at the top of the scoring table. So it's, you know what, I'm going to very reluctantly, you know, cheer on their Cinderella story and hope that they go all the way, having avoided relegation so many times.
I mean, they were the one team this week who had, they were very equal in terms of how each of them performed, while as the other two teams that did them, Johnny Adam was held up by Martin Best's score this week. Johnny got 10, Martin got 28, and Ross and Tam McKay were very similar. Ross got 7 along with David. And Tam McKay was a really good scoring week on 29. So the two teams were being held up while the top ones were very evenly matched. But yeah, it's interesting about the scores reset again, and we go again next week to see who could make the final two teams of the Listeners League Cup. Obviously, we'll have a winning team decided by this time in 2 weeks, and then the winning team will obviously compete against each other on WrestleMania weekend to decide who will be winning the Listeners League Cup this season. But Dave, for a final segment of the show, I wanted to kind of touch upon some undrafted people this season, because obviously with such a small season in comparison to normal, there was less drafts picked, which meant there was a lot of big names who missed out on being in the draft, even though they probably could have still sneaked in given some of the picks that actually did get picked this particular season. And when I looked into the highest scoring undrafted picks. Obviously, we take Asuka and Kairi Sane out of the mix on that one because Matt and Nick Jackson as tag team drafts. But a lot of them are AEW picks. There's a lot of AEW picks that seem to have not been missed out, that seem to be scoring quite well. Now, still a lot of AEW wins drafted this season. But the likes of some of the ones that sprung to mind, Orange Cassidy, who's always been a staple of the draft in recent seasons, missed out completely. He would have got 30 points for somebody. And the likes of the Blackpool Combat Club, all of their members seem to be scoring well, in particular Moxley and Claudio. Claudio's got 28.5 points, which is a great score for somebody. He would have been a nice sleeper pick. Mm-hmm. And in terms of female picks, you've got Mariah May on 21 and Willow on 22.
How much is Adam Copeland on at the minute?
He's not as much. He's on 13.5 points, so he's not got the same way. Adam Copeland was Edge was what was the one really that sprung to mind for me when I was starting doing this segment. Do you think that these guys would have done better than so many of the ones that actually made the draft? Do you think it was maybe had in some people's eyes a bit of a WrestleMania bias when it came to picking some of the wrestlers this season?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think everybody had WrestleMania in mind, given that's where all the focus would be. And I think it also sort of helps part and part with the WrestleMania is obviously spread across two nights, so it's more of a chance for the roster to obviously get on the board. So it's, I definitely do think there was some WrestleMania bias behind it. I mean, looking at some of the picks from Raw, etc., there's some very good picks that were missed out on that were scoring consistent points. So probably something that would have been good for the later rounds, like JD McDonagh scoring 24 points this week, even though, you know, he's pretty much been the Judgment Day's punching bag for a good while. Scrap Daddy as well, 16 points in appearances alone. Logan Paul, 16 points as well, and he's now defending the US title against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. A couple of probably later round picks would certainly boost the points up there. And then if we're going from a SmackDown point of view, I think probably the biggest missed opportunity was Kevin Owens, you know, with 18 points overall, and obviously him in the title match going forward. So definitely some very noticeable names that could have been useful for later picks, but that WrestleMania tunnel vision, obviously, you know, we have to prioritize, you know, who the big names are across multiple shows and, you know, where the points lie. So I understand that, you know, it's people have got one idea in mind, but it's, you have to consider some of the lower scoring points on some of the main shows.
The one that really catches my eye, it's caught my eye at the time, it caught my eye as the seasons went on. From the Raw side, you mentioned Seth Rollins.
Mm.
Pretty much, I think it's the first time he's ever not been drafted, Seth Rollins. In some degree, he was drafted as a tag team at one point a few years ago, but seems to...
Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy.
Yeah, what a time.
That was a stupid pick in hindsight, given that they lost to Street Profits, I believe it was.
Yeah, that was a mad one at that time. I think they've done a lot of people's radar, but 16 points he's got from Seth this season. Obviously, when we drafted, he was injured at the time. Mm. At the point we were drafted, or we were getting into the draft, he got an injury just before in that match with Jinder. It was unknown where his WrestleMania direction was going to be, if anything, because Punk had just got injured at the Rumble. So we literally just drafted just after Punk, you know, went off. It was unknown if he was actually going to do anything at that point because of his injury. So you can kind of see why potentially wasn't drafted. But at the same time, he still had the belt when we were drafting.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got this scenario where, granted, he might lose. There's a good chance he might lose twice.
Mm.
But you still have a guy who's a champion and is wrestling two nights. You can think someone for Roman as well, but Roman doesn't appear as much. I can't mind what Roman's score. I'm going to check Roman's score quickly. Just now, I don't think it's anywhere.
10 points.
Yeah, 10 points for Roman. But do you think with Seth, even with the injury, somebody should have still took a punt on him?
I don't know. I think it would have been a bit risky to take Rollins in this position, given that, you know, he was obviously injured going into the Royal Rumble, and there was no realistic timeline of when he would be cleared, if he would be cleared at all for that season. So I think people got spooked a little bit to not know the extent of his injury. And he's only taken a couple of bumps, or he's been in physical spots like very sparingly. But now that we're at a stage where I think he's been 100% medically cleared, it doesn't look like, I think he's going to have a very bad WrestleMania weekend. Even if he just was competing once, I think people were wise to think that, you know, I think this could be the chance where he finally drops the title. Didn't matter if it was to Punk, didn't matter if it was to Drew. I think people were spooked that he was going to drop the title one way or another, whether it was vacated through injury or he was going to drop it in a match. So I can understand why people wouldn't choose him at that point. There was just too much uncertainty and more likely to lose than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of theory would come into the other one I'm going to mention as well, Jimmy Uso. Obviously, Jay, main event Jay Uso.
Yeet.
Picked in the second round. Obviously, people seem to be quite confident in Jay, while as the match with Jimmy they pretty much put it in front of us at the Rumble, going, these two are coming up number one and two. They've been kind of, Jimmy's been screwing Jay all since SummerSlam. This looked like it was always going to happen at Mania, especially when they split the two of them up on the brands. But yet nobody really had any confidence in Jimmy, you know, and nobody really thought, let's pick Jimmy Uso in there. I mean, Solo Sikoa got picked still, and pretty much Jimmy's doing the same thing as him. So is it just a case of people have, you know...
Jimmy's scoring more than Solo as well.
What was that?
Jimmy's scoring more than Solo as well, which is mad.
Well, not by much, you know, by a point.
That point still stands. But yeah, it's... that is a weird one, actually, because Jimmy hasn't been as heavily involved in matches where I think because Jay's being treated more as like... as his name suggests, a main event guy. You know, he's getting involved with, you know, the main event talent, and he's had way more matches than Jimmy, so I can see why they would prioritize Jay over that point. So it just feels weird seeing Jimmy compete as a solo guy, but yet Jay just has this aura about him. You know, he's been carrying it a lot better, given that he's done it since the pandemic era. So, yeah, I can see why they would prioritize Jay, but... I don't know. I haven't seen enough from Jimmy to draft him as a singles guy.
I don't think he has a hope in hell at this. I don't think he's got
I don't know. I reckon they might swerve us with that one. Maybe they drag it on out to Backlash, perhaps.
Like
they did with the Hardys in 2009.
I love how you say, I can't fathom picking Jimmy as a singles guy. Season 9, you picked Jimmy as a singles guy.
Well, in all fairness, that was because the Usos were still teaming together as a tag team, and he had just come back from injury. And that was during the transfer season as well. I brought him in as a transfer.
Yeah, you brought him in as a transfer, and he got 119 points that particular season overall.
On the SummerSlam season, whilst the Usos were SmackDown tag champions. So, and as my captain, you know, he was racking up points like nobody's business.
Yeah, so that's it. You can get it in that particular one. But yeah, as a singles guy, I don't really see... He's said any other time he's been picked as a singles guy since that. He's been picked as a singles guy the two seasons since the SummerSlam turn. And he got 36 points and 18 points. You know, he went from being a round two pick to a round four pick, not being picked at all. So, yeah, I don't think he's got hope. Jay carries himself a lot better. I can see why Jay's a big... I don't think he's performed quite terribly for a round two pick, I think, in the general. I think he's the worst scoring round two pick of this season, you know. Not by much, you know. Only a point behind Io and Bianca, but you want your round two pick to be kind of getting ideally you'd rather him get about 40-odd points or something like that. And you can kind of see he's probably the one person holding back that team of Gary and Ross. Because if they were scoring because he's got 19 and everybody else seems to be scoring a decent... Dominic is round 4 at 21, but most other ones are getting near 30. So.
And it looks like Dom has re-entered the feud with Ray.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they could be getting reigniting that WrestleMania feud.
Yeah, but yeah, it's an interesting one to watch. But yeah, I think in terms of the ones not being picked, I think there is definitely some sort of WrestleMania in terms of bias. I mean, if you look at Ryan and Gary's team, they got Andrade who came back at the Rumble. He's only getting 9 points. If they picked Orange Cassidy over him, it was more of a safe pick as a one there.
Mm-hmm.
They'd still be doing rubbish, but they wouldn't quite be doing as bad. So it's kind of that one. Like you got to understand WrestleMania season. You think, let's get the WrestleMania guys who we think will go to WrestleMania, and then mm-hmm. put them. Because obviously we don't make it, you have an idea. We always have an idea by the Rumble where they might go, the direction of travel might be. But Andrade just came back. That was a risky one to go with, especially when you get guys that are safe mm-hmm. in there, like Orange Cassidy. I mean, granted, he's not got the title anymore. It's probably not been his best season, but he's still got 30 points, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Orange Cassidy has just been really heavily overlooked the last couple of seasons when he's probably one of the longest reigning international champions that we've seen in a long time. He was a mega, mega safe bet, and yet people just keep overlooking him, probably just because he's not a WWE guy. And that comes back to the argument about the WrestleMania bias. You know, you keep forgetting about AEW if you've got a big four WWE pay-per-view coming up, like, and this is where all the attention's going to be on. But you cannot look Orange Cassidy by any stretch of the imagination, because I think he's been overlooked way too many times, and he's been on an absolute tear with scoring in the last couple of seasons. How he's not been picked this time is beyond me.
He's the 23rd best scoring pick in draft history, and he's only ever been picked above round three once.
That's crazy.
Which was that time that David Campbell picked him, and he was a juggernaut for him at that time in season 17. But yeah, I think I don't mean to be down on Ryan and Gary's team completely, but I think if they maybe, if they, instead of Andrade, if they'd went for somebody like Jimmy Uso, I would have respected it a bit more, even if he wasn't scoring as much, because you have that WrestleMania foresight. But the Andrade one, I think if you're not gonna pick a safe bet for WrestleMania, you got to go with a safe points bet. And I think that's really what's kind of let them, or take a punt. I don't think Andrade, I'm going to say this because people say, oh, you picked a Cadder. I think a Cadder's a much more, the punt where Cadder was, if he was going to show up, if he showed up, he's going to score points. So that's the thing. Mm-hmm. Well, as Andrade, I mean, the best we might see from Andrade now is he might get involved with this whole Rey Mysterio thing, because he's been doing this stuff with Dom.
I didn't consider that, actually, yeah.
But he's not going to wrestle. I don't know, unless they're going to do some sort of faction thing, I don't know.
Save him for after Mania, that makes more sense. Same with Bron Breakker.
Yeah, well, Bron Breakker's been great for them, though. If they put the cap on him, that's a completely different argument altogether. I'm not going to get
Absolutely.
I'm sure that will be something that will be potentially talked about in the coming weeks on this show as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania. But that will round us off for this particular week of Saturday Draft Live. If you've enjoyed the show, it's your first time listening to it, or listen to anything here on Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet, first of all, where have you been? Second of all, hit the subscribe button on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. We've got plenty of shows releasing all the time. We've got a lot coming up over the WrestleMania season. We've also done a recent episode of ESSR Central that Dave did with Ross, where they talked about the money. To round that one off. So yeah, that's anything else going on WrestleMania season, so please listen to that. A couple of good feature shows coming up over the coming weeks, including our epic, and I mean epic, show on the Bloodline storyline. It's absolutely jam-packed, I've been told. It's a two-hour show. So
I remember the last time we did a two-hour show.
I don't think we've ever done one in ages, man.
I think the last one was the Christian Profile show, which Sarah hosted. That was a long one.
That was a couple of years ago now, so that is a blockbuster show, brilliantly put together by David Campbell, which involves everybody on the podcast, so please be sure to catch that. And we've also got an annual debating chamber coming up that was being recorded over the weekend, which will see the battle between Kwaku Aji and Chris Anthony Lopez. So please keep an eye out for that whenever that drops round about WrestleMania week. And also, not long after WrestleMania week, we'll have a feature show on the potentially new WWE Women's Champion, Bayley. She might not be, mm-hmm. Might not be win the title, so I'm saying potentially. But hey, we're doing a show on it anyway. So please make sure you catch all that stuff when it comes out, and also follow us on our socials at Suplex Retweet. We can find everything that we're doing all the time. Dave, thank you again for joining us. Is this probably the last show you do before you go on your travels to Vietnam?
I might make an appearance if we're previewing WrestleMania, you know, albeit a very brief one. But yeah, I think I'll say peace out for a few weeks, and I'll catch you all on the other side of Mania.
Yeah, I'm not going to Vietnam because I have a 3-month-old child.
Hey, you made your choice. I've made mine. So
yes, I get nice smiles in the morning. So I will always take that. Anyway, thank you for listening.
And I get sunshine and sailing.
Yeah, I'll take the nice smiles from every day of the week. Thanks for listening. Have a good one, and we will see you next time. Cheers, bye.
Eat.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.